Welcome to Good Clean Talks, ladies and gentlemen. I need to get some Mozart for the jingle to come in. We have to do that, but coming soon, an actual intro. So what's up, guys? Today we've got Ryan, Heather, and Allison, all new people to the podcast.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Introduce yourselves.
I'm Heather. Yep. I have nothing interesting to say about myself.
No, that's bullshit.
Heather. Well, my name is Ryan. I was born in Michigan, moved to Florida when I was about 19 years old. Came to Florida.
How old are you now?
I'm going to be 25 in like a couple weeks.
Oh, like 6 years here. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You got used to the place. You know the roads and shit, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. This is Central Florida, by the way. For all you non-local listeners.
Central Florida.
And I'm Allison. I'm about to be 23 in less than a month. I don't really know what to say about myself either. Introductions make me nervous.
I'm Dolan. I'm 23. I sell soap. Goodcleangoods.com. Check it out. Got some awesome-ass lavender soap. It's wonderful. It'll do wonders to your skin. Legally, I can only say so much since I don't have a cosmetic license, but it's really fucking good for you.
I need some of that, by the way.
Got you. After the
show. Actually, I want to hear more about that.
Soap?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Wait,
so,
why is this so good for you compared to just regular soap?
All right, let's go back.
It's all natural.
But we can't talk about it too much, right?
Oh, no. Yeah, get me started on talking about my business on the podcast. I'm just promoting myself. I'm going to make money off
shit,
so I'll talk about it all day.
Okay.
Going back a couple years, a couple generations, mega corporations started taking over. You know, you got your Procter & Gamble and your fucking, I don't know, different mega corporations, Johnson & Johnson. All these companies started coming up, right? And in time, they realized that they could make products cheaper by using different ingredients and different lab synthesized things. I think it was, I'm kind of speaking out of my ass here, but I'm pretty sure it was World War II when they started making soap. Like, the economy was a lot different than people were putting all the money overseas into the war and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So they started making soap out of these weird synthesized elements, and people caught on pretty quick, at least like officials did, and they learned that they couldn't even call it soap because of the ingredients. So like the FDA did this thing where like, you know, if you go out, you buy your body wash and your cleansing materials, your cleansing bars and stuff,
mm-hmm.
that shit is called that because they cannot legally call it soap. Like certain types of like Dove and Dial,
mm-hmm.
on the package you won't find the word soap anywhere because legally it's not soap. Soap is a highly caustic material, mainly sodium hydroxide or potassium hydroxide, mixed with a fatty acid like olive oil or coconut oil or something like that. And you know, typically soap didn't have scent back in the day when they were mixing lard with lye, which is like basically like ashes that are processed a certain way to bring out mm-hmm. the caustic aspect of it. And what they did is they just mixed the lard with the lye and made soap that way and did their laundry and shit and bathed themselves with it. But like, you know, like essential oils started coming around and people started putting those in the soap. And they've got really good benefits. Like, for instance, lavender is very calming. Peppermint will get your mind stimulated. There's so many different essential oils and so many different benefits that they have. And you combine that with soap and you're bathing with this in the morning, you use something that wakes you up, like peppermint, something with like spice in it. Your whole day is going to be basically fucking glowing because of that. At night, if you shower at night, you use lavender, you're going to be really kind of calm. Like your mind is going to be at ease and resting and shit. So, I mean, different types of natural soap that's not some type of cleansing product. It's actual soap. It's handmade. I make it myself. I've got like fucking stacks of chemicals in my garage. That's just fucking.
You don't make it out of like animal lard, like
no.
The old school
I make mine vegan.
Soap, right?
I don't want to use like lard and shit. Man.
I don't get how
it's
does animal
gross.
Lard like clean your hands? Like,
does
it kill the bacteria on your hands, or does it just like wash it off?
It's a fatty acid. So when you combine the lard with potassium hydroxide. Sorry, I'm fixing my microphone. This shit's fucking slipping. I don't understand what's going on here.
I'm sorry.
God damn it. Yeah, so when it mixes, it's just like a chemical reaction that causes. It's called saponification. Hmm. When you mix the two, it gets really, really, really fucking hot. It heats up to like 190, 200 something degrees. Mm-hmm. Like you can burn your skin from the chemicals and from the heat of the soap when it's in the process of saponification. But you put it into a mold and you wrap the mold up to let it get really hot because it does its own natural process. This is called cold process soap. And you you can put it in like a shelf or something where there's low vibration, no sound. You wrap it up so it's insulated. And then in a 24-hour period, it'll solidify. And then you take it out of the mold, chop it up into a little like 1-inch by like 3-inch bars and hang it on a rack to dry, flip it in 2 weeks so the other side gets dry. And in a month's time, it's completely usable.
Hmm.
And
it takes you a month to make it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a long process. Wow.
Yep.
Do you think soap is becoming like... Or no, do you think germs are becoming like immune to soap? Will that ever happen where like our soap recipe needs to be changed because...
No, your body has a natural way of tackling the shit that's on your skin. I mean, it's called, you know, probiotics. You have natural flora and fauna on your skin that fights the germs. Uh-huh. What people use soap for is to eliminate, you know, smell and dirt and grime and shit.
Uh-huh.
If you use natural soap, you're not killing the flora and fauna. If you use some forms of, I don't want to name any names, but like mega corporations push them out. They kill their antibacterial soap is the worst thing you can use on your body. And it kills fucking the shit that is on your skin that you need. You know, like hand sanitizer, one of the worst things you could use.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I heard a while ago that they were trying to push for parents not to use hand sanitizer so much because it's not good for your kids.
It's really not.
It's killing too many germs. They don't build immune systems because they don't have the germs.
Hmm. And when you do use antibacterial shit, I mean, think about antibiotics, how they just breed bigger and badder bacteria. And if you're using that shit on your skin, then you're just breeding bigger and badder shit to, you know, infect you. And it's... Right. If everybody switched to a holistic lifestyle, then everybody would be so healthy within not even a very long amount of time, a couple months, everybody.
Holistic, meaning, what does that mean?
No added chemicals, no bullshit, not even necessarily organic because, you know, the whole GMO thing, I believe GMOs are bad to an extent, but some GMOs, like, for instance, bananas, they put them in a gas chamber to make them ripen quicker. That I don't think that's bad. You're just fucking pumping gases in to make it ripen quicker. You're not altering the genetic information of it.
Yeah.
Bananas will do that by themselves anyway. I actually read
over time, but it
online.
Takes longer.
Yeah, if you put them in like a brown paper bag and close it up, they'll ripen faster.
Yeah.
So it could do that naturally.
Because they like release gases.
Yeah, gases of their own.
When I worked at Publix, we stacked the banana boxes a certain way to let them air out because they were done ripening. Like as soon as they're ready to hit the store, they're green because we get the shipment the night before. And we stack them a certain way, and like so it aerates, and by the time, you know, we're ready to sell them, they're yellow, which is, you know, 12 hours.
Huh.
Bananas are kind of a special thing anyway, though, because they don't grow here, so you kind of have to have some kind of...
Yeah, we get them from over...
Yeah, they only grow overseas, so you have to have something.
I actually read the bananas are not even, like, a natural... Like, they're, like, a man-made. Like, we bred them, basically, is, like...
I know corn.
Sure,
really?
I know corn today. There's no natural corn.
Corn can't reproduce on its own anymore. Our corn, it has to be like planted by us. It won't reproduce in nature.
I mean, things like corn syrup, you know, just fucking weird shit that's in our food. And we've got, most people have a bacteria in their intestines called, I can't even remember what it's called. But
like
the
good bacteria, right?
No. It thrives on sugar. It grows from sugar. Like, we have sugar addictions to feed this, and when we don't have sugar, what it does is this bacteria collects heavy metals, and when it gets deprived of sugars, it starts releasing these heavy metals, so you feel like shit if you don't eat sugar. So we get addicted to sugar because of these bacteria.
But natural sugars, though, right?
No. This bacteria is so weird. It's... Shit changes.
I feel like
over
most
time.
Of the stuff we eat has sugar in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get away from.
There's so much sugar in everything, added in everything. Like,
we don't need it, but
you wouldn't even realize.
We're addicted to it. Yeah. You know, it's, yeah. But anyway, to wrap up what I was saying, holistic lifestyle, we'd all be so healthy, so fast. And it's
not necessarily.
No, it's true, but American society, you'd be surprised, like obesity and a lot of the diseases that we experience would diminish quickly.
I think a lot of them, but not necessarily all of them.
No.
It has to do with a lot with you know, your food groups and all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah, you still got to eat a variety of things.
You still have to eat healthy, even though it's,
Basically, as long as our food is in the hands of, like, corporations who are just trying to profit and not necessarily feed us nutritious food, that's a problem.
They want you to be addicted, so you buy more.
Totally. Yeah.
I want to know why people even thought of that in the first place. Like you were saying, corn syrup. Why the fuck was that invented? Like, who was like, let's just make some sugar shit out of this because we can? Why, though?
High fructose corn syrup is a very... It's a cheaper alternative to sweeten things.
But who the fuck thought
of that? But you know what's really cheap? Nectar, and you don't have to use as much of it. Like, Argive Nectar, you can get that shit by, like, bulk and put the smallest little bit. You can use less than sugar. Like, it's some like 10 times sweeter than sugar if you use it to sweeten your tea or your coffee or something.
I have some of that stuff.
Nectar.
That's
good. Does that come from, like, that doesn't come from, like...
Like, plants and flowers and...
Yeah.
I'm not
agave
sure
agave is, like, a succulent...
Is it a flower or something?
Agave is a succulent. That's what tequila is made out of.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. That's funny. Tequila is terrible.
Tequila is delicious.
Never
a
good idea.
I love tequila.
It causes a lot of problems, but it is delicious.
Never a good idea. You know, if somebody's like, hey, Dolan, do you want some tequila? I'm like, that's not a good idea. That doesn't mean I'm not going to drink
it. You do it anyways. Because you know it's going to be a good time, but you know it's not a good idea.
No, it's never even a good time. That's a bad idea no matter what.
I feel like, Dolan, you're always on the wrong side of the tequila. That's what it is, because...
always.
Everyone else gets fucked up before you do, and then you have to take care of them. I'm speaking for myself. I always get fucked up. Dolan has to take care of me.
That's the same with everybody, like my friends and shit. I'm just a slow drinker, so it's like I get to the point where I'm like, yeah, I want to have a good time, but then they're all on the floor throwing up and shit, and I'm like,
unless we're drinking wine,
kidding.
And then Dolan gets fucked up before anyone else.
Yeah,
somehow.
God, if
I honestly
wine,
think
like
that's an Apopka thing, though, because when I go other places and I'm like ready to drink, everybody else is drinking so slow, and I'm like, what the fuck is taking you guys so long?
I came here to party. What are you doing?
Right, exactly.
The shots. Let's do shots.
When it comes to beer, I'm a really, really slow drinker.
I'm a slow drinker with beer, too, only because I feel like I don't like it that much. And you have to... I mean, I like it, but you have to drink so much of it to get drunk. That's why I like tequila, because you're like two shots in, you're like, I'm good. I'm good for the rest of the night.
I feel like I gauge how much I'm drinking by, like, how much I have to piss. So I'm like, if I kind of feel it there a little bit, like, maybe I have to tinkle a little bit. I won't drink as fast.
Tinkle.
You know, with wine, it's like... I don't have to drink as much to get wasted, so, like, I don't feel like I have to piss as frequently, so I just down that shit, you know?
Like, tequila's just, like, fun to do the whole, like, salt and lime. It's just, like, something different, I feel like.
Yeah, like, there's a process. There's a ritual to it. Yeah. I mean, humans thrive off their rituals. Crazy fucking creatures.
I feel like tequila is the most giggly of all the alcohols. Of all the liquors.
Tequila makes me awake, which is, like, the worst thing that you can do. Any other alcohol will put me to sleep. But
see,
when I drink tequila, I'm just, like, up and super wasted and, like, wide awake.
That coming from tequila drinkers, as a as an observer of tequila drinkers, it makes people cry.
Not me. It makes me happy. Whiskey makes me cry, though.
That's
it has
weird.
A reputation whiskey to make you angry. Like,
tequila's
people say
never
that
made
tequila
me
makes
angry.
You fight.
Tequila's just made me, like,
vodka.
Annoyed or sick.
I must be backwards.
Really? Rum,
I don't drink vodka enough.
It's rum that makes me want to fight. Like, I don't want to fight often, but when I'm drinking rum, I'm just like, everything is just like smallest little thing. I'm like, you know what would solve this problem?
That
violence.
I heard
it turns
about...
you into a pirate.
Honestly, I don't know. I think if you just drink enough of anything, Dolan, you get violent.
That's what I was thinking.
No, I'm the most passive person ever. I can get fucking wasted on the ground and not want to start a fight.
What's your sign?
I'm an Aquarius.
An Aquarius? Do you know your birth time and the time zone that you were born in?
It was afternoon.
Does that make a difference?
Like 2:30 Eastern Standard Time. It was January, so it was during daylight savings. I can tell you that. Oh, God.
I did hear, though, that the people always talk about how, like, different types of alcohol give them a different drunk. I actually heard that that's, like, all in your head, that, like,
I don't think
alcohol
so.
Just, it does the same thing no matter what you're drinking.
Additives, though.
I feel like that might be true, but as far as the awake or sleepiness, that might be.
I don't feel like that's true because the things I notice that are different are so extreme. Like, the first time I got drunk off tequila, I literally giggled the entire time.
Really?
Yeah, and I'd never been like that when I was drunk.
Maybe it was just their surroundings, though. Like he said, too, though, the additives. Like, if you think about a Four Loko, I don't know what the fuck is in that besides a shitload of sugar.
Well, oh, my
so,
God.
Like, you know, you're hyped up on sugar and you're awake, but it's not really the alcohol. It's the drink that's making you like that.
True. It tastes like a lollipop doused in alcohol. It like really rubbing, alcohol.
Rubbing alcohol. Rubbing alcohol and Jolly Rancher mixed together. It's awful.
Yeah, it just went into sleep mode. Okay. Does it every 15? Yeah, 15 minutes.
Cool.
Why do people ever drink Four Lokos? I think I had one like twice, and well, both times it was fucking awful.
They're different now than they used to be.
They actually taste good now.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't had one since they were like the original.
Yeah, me either.
And they had like a shit ton of caffeine. I think they took out... What did they take out? I don't know.
They took out the caffeine.
Oh, really?
But they probably supplemented with like fucking thyrosine and other shit, like taurine. And
taurine, yeah.
All chemicals that are just like caffeine, yeah, but have a different name, probably.
I don't understand.
It has been a long time. It was before I was legally allowed to drink. That's the last time I had one, for sure.
I remember going to church when I was a teenager, and, like, these guys would show up on the church bus, because the bus came and picked us up and shit, and he had, like, a milk jug. It was, like, this blue liquid inside. I'm like, what's that? He's like, Four Loko. And I'm like...
In a milk jug?
A jug.
Yeah, on the way to church. You can't, on the way to church, he says. God.
I mean, what are you going to do with, like, 2 32-ounce cans? Fucking put them in a milk jug.
That's disgusting. Wow. Everything about that whole scenario just now. You're in a bus on the way to church drinking Four Loko.
Out of a milk jug.
With your teenage friends.
I knew friends that did mushrooms at church. Just fucking crazy.
With your teenage friends. Time.
There we go. I think that's all accurate.
Well.
Okay, so the
bad teenagers.
The reason I was asking what time you were born is because your moon sign, okay, basically your star sign, or, you know, the sign that you probably know about your birthday, has to do with what constellation was behind the sun when you were born, but your moon sign is what constellation was behind the moon when you were born.
Hmm. Okay.
So you live by the sun, and you feel by the moon.
Okay.
I want to see that.
I'm a thinker, not a feeler, though. Like, I can't, like, everything in my life is based upon my rational thought and my logic and not my feeling. Feeling is very secondary to me.
Well, your moon sign, according to this, is Virgo. And the main thing that I know about Virgos is that you have like a procedure and a way of doing things.
Oh, yeah.
And you expect other people to follow those procedures.
Yeah, I got expectations of people.
I think I can vouch for that one on him, for sure.
What's that supposed to mean, huh?
I can just see it. All the conversations that we have had, I definitely think that that is true.
What's an example? What routine does Dolan have?
It's just the way that he thinks. Before, when we were doing things that shall not be named, illegal things, he's tried to...
Psychedelic drugs.
He's tried to explain his process of thinking. And, like, okay, for one, the whole thing about how he doesn't understand how people don't have a sense of direction. I have no sense of direction.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, he just doesn't get it.
Yeah, I guess that is, like, a procedural thing, because my sense of direction is very based upon feeling, and it's very based upon, like, you know, if I can tell internally, basically, if I make 3 rights, it's basically going to take me in a fucking circle, or 4 rights, rather. I'm going to be where I started. And I don't understand how, like, you know, if I'm driving through the city, I'm, you know, somewhere in my mind keeping track of how many turns I'm making, which direction I'm facing, where the sun is.
That's funny.
Or where the moon is, where the stars are, whatever. I'm subconsciously keeping track of all this shit. So I know if I'm, like, lost as fuck, I can make my way back to the point where I realized that this was the place where I was at just before I lost track of where I was going. You know what I mean? Like, I understand direction. I just get it. Like, I know.
Yeah.
Do you keep track of direction the entire time?
Not consciously.
That's another thing.
No,
about
but I trust my feeling. I'm like, I feel if I turn this way, I'm probably. And
it's
then
like
I'm like,
a gut
I just like listen to my shit, and then I'll end up where I started. You know.
Hmm. I like wandering. Like, I like not worrying about where I'm going and just aimlessly wandering.
Yeah. See, that's something that I do. Like, I try to do, but unfortunately, I never get myself that lost.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't think that he can. That's
no,
the difference.
I can't.
The difference
I find a freedom in being lost. Like, I like
it is.
I like wandering too.
It is wonderful, but for me, in order to get lost, I have to do something extreme. Like,
I think it's fun to find your way out of being lost.
Yeah,
oh, most
like,
definitely is.
Like losing yourself, uh-huh, and then.
That's
kind of like trying to figure out where you were to begin with. Does that make sense?
It does. I feel like as humans, we have the ability to get lost and to get off track and to be unhappy and to be all those weird things in order to experience the joy and the fun of getting back on track. Like, you know, you right. phase in and out, because if you don't, you know, just the one thing is all you know, and that's boring.
That's another thing about the owls that I was talking about is owls.
You're going to have to explain what you were talking about, because we didn't...
Well, basically, I watched a documentary about these people who like raise all kinds of different birds, and there's a documentary about how they hatch these baby owls and they raise them like from babies to full-size owls, and they just talk about how they develop all of their different skills and these unique things that they have. But owls actually create a map in their head of their surrounding area, and they like they're one of the few animals that can do that. And
that's how they navigate at night, because they have a memory
at
of,
night,
of the location.
They have good vision, but that's only half of it. The other half of it is that they have created a mental image in their head of their like surroundings.
Sweet.
It's kind of crazy.
Do you know if you leave a pigeon in a cage in one place for long enough, and then you take the pigeon to another location and let it go, it will fly back to the place that it grew up?
Cats cats can do the same thing.
That's so crazy.
Really?
Yeah, there have been stories of like cats getting loaded onto like semi trucks and they're stuck in like the boxcar basically, completely black around them, no lights, anything, and they're just traveling for days. They get out and they're in like fucking Louisiana. From Louisiana, they can travel back to Florida and within a matter of a couple of months show back up on the owner's doorstep. There have been documented cases of that.
That's
shit.
Amazing.
It's, yeah, it's crazy.
I think dogs can do stuff like that. Maybe not to that
level. It's like
level,
Homeward Bound,
but
the movie.
Yeah,
where the cat and the dogs get lost.
Well, yeah.
And they can talk.
My mother told me this story one time. At our old house, like when I was a kid, this dog, it was right after my grandfather passed away. My mom's father passed away. And this dog showed up at our house. And my mom was like, okay, that's weird, go away. And then she kind of ignored the dog. And every day at the same time, the dog would come back and show up at the door like, hey, I'm here, what's going on? And then one day my mom was like, okay, she got her friend and she's like, we have to take this dog away because it keeps coming up. It's weird. It's kind of creeping me out. They take the dog way on the other side of town, drop it off. 2 days later, the dog is right back at the doorstep. It's insane how animals have different capabilities than humans, because... We live with the same five senses. I mean, debatably, five senses since we're born, and our brains develop to a certain point based upon the senses that we have and what our parents tell us are our true perceptions, even though we may have perceptions that are beyond that, but our parents don't tell us to listen to it. So we've got our own ways of perceiving things, and we're born, we're raised to a certain point. We consider ourselves advanced because we've got these thumbs. And we can think, and our brains are shaped a certain way, and we have this complicated system of linguistics to where we can, you know, communicate in this fucking weird-ass fashion. Like, how did that shit start? You know, trying to avoid predators and, like, describing words for rocks and tigers and fucking bears and shit. And here we are expressing fucking love and passion and hate and anger and all these crazy things without words. And we've got all this shit going, so we consider ourselves so far above all these other animals, but they don't get sidetracked with that weird shit, you know? They have, like, this natural attunement that they play upon. It's all vibrations, and we're all vibrational creatures, but humans, for one, seem to be the one creature that has separated ourselves most from vibration, if that makes any sense at all.
I think the awareness that our generation is starting to raise for though.
Oh, yeah, it gives me chills thinking about
it. It's about to start some kind of revolution.
No, it already has.
Because, totally, like, ever since I've known Heather, she hasn't eaten meat. And I had no idea about how animals were treated in factories and all that good stuff until Heather told me. Mm. And I actually stopped eating meat for an entire year because of that. And I want to again, but it's hard.
Aww.
But
go hunting.
Once
you get meat the proper way.
No, if you go hunting, I feel like you would change your mind for sure.
I think I don't think
there's something primal about it.
I can't kill a spider. Like, how am I going to kill large
animal?
That's
why I feel like I don't want to eat meat, because I know that I couldn't do it. If it came down to me actually having to do it myself, I couldn't do it. So I feel like, why would I make someone else do it just because I couldn't?
I kind of want to go hunting for the purpose of, like, almost staring myself in the eye. Like, am I capable of this? Do I need to do it? You know,
if I was hungry enough, I could.
But I feel like if I was hungry enough, I could also find other things. I might die because I might be poisonous, but,
That's, like, a really bad thing about, like, even our generation and, like, kids these days, is they don't understand where the food comes from.
So we have to raise the awareness to let them know.
Yeah. And that's what's going on. That's why I have this. One of the reasons why I have this podcast is raising awareness. Like, the reason I actually haven't talked about this on the podcast so far, but one night my friends and I, we were in Ocala. We were kind of camping, kind of not. We just had some air mattresses and like a tarp. And we had taken a very, very large dose of LSD. Like, these hits were, I think they were like double or triple dosed. And then we took like two or three of them. I mean, the shit was like, I would be staring at the fire and I would see like a serpent or like a snake in the fire. And my friend would be like, do you see that snake? But he'd be like looking in the opposite direction describing a snake. And my other friend would be like, do you hear that snake? And like, we're all like on the same fucking page, you know, like mentally.
Like on the same wavelength.
Yeah, exactly. We're all thinking serpents, but we're not even connected because we hadn't even been talking. And it's like, whoa, that's fucking crazy. I was just looking at that. I was just listening to that. You know, it's.
Right. It's like what you were talking about with that we only have, what, five?
Yeah. Yeah.
Debatable senses or whatever, but we have seven chakras.
Right.
So I definitely feel like out of the five senses, I mean, your third eye brings in so much, mm-hmm. but we're taught to close that at such a young age because
what
we
is a chakra?
Chakras are like focuses of your energy, basically. You have one above your head here that's described as a lotus with 1,000 petals that never stops spinning. And then you have one here. This is your crown chakra. Or no, this is your crown chakra. This is your third eye chakra, like on your forehead. Your throat chakra is on your throat. Your heart chakra is over your heart. Your solar plexus is like your upper abdomen.
That's confidence.
Yeah. Your sacral chakra.
That's sexual drive and
and then your root chakra.
And your root is your connection to the earth. And your
throat chakra
is your voice, like your opinion, your expression, your artistic ability. Your third eye is almost your foresight into, you know, what has and what will and what is almost.
And when you say that, you close your eyes because you can really see more clearly through your third eye when you close your eyes. It's more so your intuition guiding you.
And your crown chakra is just kind of connection to source and spirit. And it's kind of like the opening of the socket. Like, everything has
understanding, enlightenment.
Like, there's a certain circuitry about everything, right? You got a positive, a negative, and a flow and shit like that. When it comes to spirituality, you've got grounding, which is the earth, and then you've got the opening of spirituality and source.
It's really just a constant flow of energy through you.
Your crown and your root are the ones that are constantly kind of, that shit flows through, comes, you know, both directions almost, but it's just the opening of the circuit to where things kind of flow in and out. And
so you think people who have been like blind their whole life have more ability to
definitely.
Use that?
Perception for intuition. Totally. Yeah. Totally. That's
whether it be hearing and or smell.
Yeah, they're more in tune with their other senses.
Well, I know that their other senses are heightened when you lose one.
I mean, have you ever like thought about something and then close your eyes and then thought about that same thing and realize like your pathways are kind of opening up a little bit more?
Totally. Like the other night I was at the beach and I was looking at the stars and I was trying so hard to imagine something beyond the stars that I could see. And I'm looking at them and I just couldn't imagine anything further than what I saw. But then I closed my eyes and it was almost like I saw it.
I was at the beach one time at night staring up at the stars on a considerable amount of psychedelic drugs. All of my best stories. I can't tell a good story without being like, yeah, I was tripping. But I'm staring up at the stars and I'm completely naked, inching into the ocean, like staring up at the stars. And like, I don't.
Wait, is this real life or is this?
No. This is
really
what happened.
Are you really naked walking into the water?
Yeah. I was tripping really hard and I took my clothes off.
Okay. All right.
And I'm walking into the water and it's, by the way, December.
Oh,
it's like freezing cold. It's like below freezing. And I inch into the water and I'm staring up at the stars. I'm like, I know I'm meant to be in the water, you know, but I'm not about to go and like fucking jump in the water. You know, I'm itching in. And
this is how I die.
I look at the stars and like things are shooting between the stars and I see serpents and dragons and all kinds of crazy shit up there. Right. And then I'm like inching more into the water. And as the water starts coming, creeping up my ankles, I'm like, oh, and then I realized at that moment, like the sound that I innately, like, almost as a reflex, go to make an extreme pleasure or extreme pain is the same sound if you let it go all the way through and ride it out, and it goes to the om. And I started writing the om and chanting it over and over again as I'm walking out of the ocean, and, like, the more intense the oms got, the shit, and the stars kept shooting back and forth more and more intense, and then I felt these spiritual beings up there, almost like intelligent shit.
Because you found peace with all your emotion.
Yeah, in the freezing cold, in the most extreme. And then, the waves, I was inching in, and, it came up to my waist and my chest, and each time the arm would get more intense until finally, the wave comes that's going to take me under, and it breaks just before my head, and it goes to my shoulders and then back, and I inch a little closer, and then the next wave that comes, I just know. And then it takes me, and I go underwater, completely naked, freezing cold, reborn at night. Reborn completely, everything was taken from me,
That's another interesting thing that I've heard about is how, ancient people, they had a connection with the stars, and now people we can barely see the stars anymore because there's so much light in our cities and stuff, and that apparently has some type of mental effect on us.
It does.
Not being able to see the stars.
I mean, it's like what I said earlier, that you live by the sun and you feel by the moon. Mm-hmm. Think of how many people are constantly stuck in an office and don't get to live by the sun. And think of how much it suppresses.
I've been there. I worked nights in an office where I worked from 7 at night until 4 in the morning. So I literally didn't see the sun for barely ever for almost a year. And it fucked with me.
It sounds terrible. That's kind of how I feel about living in Florida, though. Not because of the sun, but because of the seasons. We don't have the cold season. It gets cold, but it doesn't. The trees don't die. The leaves don't die.
But you know what? There are seasons in Florida. You just have to look closer for them. If you go on a kayak ride down, I think it's the Wakaiva River.
The one right up here.
Wakaiva Island. Yeah. If you go down the Wakaiva River during any season, you'll notice the difference. But if you're just driving down the highway, obviously all you're going to see is green.
Yeah.
But if you're floating down the river in the fall, you see dragonflies everywhere, and you see yellow leaves floating on the river, and you just have to look closer.
I felt just because I've done psychedelics in every season, whenever I trip in...
I'm sorry.
Whenever I trip in January or December, everything looks kind of slightly more brown, a little bit more dead,
Do you notice details more when you're tripping?
Oh, yeah.
Have you never done psychedelics before?
Not yet.
Oh, my goodness.
I feel I'm already so, connected to, energy and everything that I don't know if I want to open up any more doors.
Some people ask me if, they should try psychedelics, and I'm like, do you think you should try psychedelics? Because that's the only, I can't answer that for you, because, for me, I feel like I haven't done harder psychedelics, dimethyltryptamine. Because I don't need to. I feel like I do a hit of acid. I'm already, twice as far gone as my friends. So dimethyltryptamine is nothing. I feel like I can get there without that. And if I were to take that and go somewhere, I'd be too far gone.
Right. I feel like every new drug you try is a new door you open up in your mind. Some doors are made to be closed.
Some doors are like Pandora's box. I, for a while, really, really, really regretted doing psychedelics. I would never promote psychedelics to anybody unless they've really been thinking about it and it's the door that they choose to open.
And that they're prepared to open.
Right.
See, I'm the opposite, though. I think that people should try it. I think that it's something that a lot of people need to try to open their mind more than most people.
What some people don't realize is that there are different types of psychedelics, and I would never recommend a research chemical to anybody, and I would very rarely recommend a LSD to anybody. When it comes to psilocybin, fucking eat the mushrooms, go for it, but not everybody, because everybody's got their own mental, people with a history of mental illness, like schizophrenia and depression and shit. Well, depression's a funny one. It depends on what they think about. And if they feel they should do it or not. Because I've been depressed and done psychedelics, and it's gotten me out of it. Got me out of depression. So
I think it helps sometimes, because it helps, expand the way that you're thinking and open, like you said, open doors. Then when you're depressed, you kind of close them. So when you allow yourself to open up like that, it helps. In my experience, at least.
It really does. I mean, if anything, it frees your thoughts a little bit, because what people don't realize is they get fixated on things like, oh my God. For instance, my father, he really hates his stepbrother, my uncle. And he hates him, like, a lot.
Hate is an unhealthy emotion.
It's very unhealthy. I'm not saying my dad's healthy.
He's good
very
reason
unhealthy.
To, I'm just or is it just like...
throwing well, out my opinion yeah. there.
He's got his reasons, and I don't want to justify any of them. It's more about he hates him. And it's not that he just hates him. It's he fixates on it. Like, I have never seen my father for more than an hour without him bringing my uncle up. Because he's like, you're fucking Uncle Joe, this and that. And, like, he hates him so much that it's just there all the time. And, like, psychedelics make you realize that you fixate on things, whether you enjoy the thought or not. Sometimes you fixate on thoughts you don't enjoy. And you can kind of, like, push them away. Like,
there's a quote that says, holding on to anger is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Yeah.
It's by Buddha.
Buddha?
Mm-hmm.
Roughly translated, I'm sure.
Yeah. Still, though.
Yeah.
The basic concept.
Yeah.
One time, my roommate would not stop leaving me these bitchy notes on the mirror. And I just wrote that on her side of the mirror, and then she stopped.
See, my dad is the type to leave notes like that.
Yeah. But hopefully he lets go of it one day and realizes that the only person that's hurting is himself.
Holding grudges.
I think it would take a lot of personal building in his part, and honestly... At a certain age, it's probably better to just live and die than completely...
I'm sorry.
Than to completely, like, because he is such a shell of what he once was that it would take so much to bring him back to the mental capacity to where he's at now, but without hate. Like, I feel like, for me, my personal experience, getting to where I'm at now, it took killing a lot of myself, like going into the deepest parts of myself and really suffering and really going through depression. Like, psychedelics sent me into a depression of, you know, 9 months, which is ironic because I felt like, you know, it took that long to be reborn. And, you know, I went through the worst of hells. And then coming out of that, seeing the sunshine is fucking amazing. But I don't know. I mean, I hope he does come out of that, but... Like, let things go. It's just completely rebuilding yourself is... It's a
I don't think
process.
It has to be that complex of a process, though. Like, lately, I've really been rebuilding myself. I just got out of a relationship I was in for, like, a year and 4 months or something like that. A long-ass time. The longest time I've ever been with anybody.
Shit.
And I feel like all the things that aren't good about myself, I'm learning to accept. And all the things that I know that I shouldn't accept, I don't see them as these awful things that I need to mourn over. I see them as these flat shadows, and I see the energy of who I am as a bright light that beams, and these flat shadows are just so easily brushed off.
Yeah.
I don't think it has to be... I mean, for some people, everybody goes through things differently, but I don't know. Maybe it doesn't have to be such a process. For everyone.
That's true. Everybody's different. And for me, it took a lot. But
I don't think that it would be too late for him. Like you said, I mean,
I don't think
it's
ever too late.
Yeah, I think it might be a process, but only because
maybe
his mindset and probably his generation, like that's just how that people were
maybe,
you know, made.
Maybe I'm biased
back then.
Maybe I'm biased because so much of who I am is because of who he is.
Yeah.
That I feel like I can't see him any other way. I don't know.
People do change, though, but it would have to be definitely, like, his choice, and it would have to be something that he wanted to do. And I think a lot of the problem is the older generation, they don't want to, like, you know, they don't want to change. They
yeah,
just are stuck
that.
In their ways, and they just, that's how they see things.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're going to be that generation soon where we're going to be
don't
like,
say that.
Goddamn kids!
Stuck in our ways.
No, never.
we're changing, like... Historically, we're a lot different than any other generation.
Like, I feel like our absolutely. Parents' generation was sent through such a cut and dry program of doing things. You get out of school, you go to college, you get married, or you get out of school, you go into the military, you get
look
married.
Look how that worked out for
just
them.
Routine.
Exactly. Look what the divorce rate is. Mm-hmm. And that's really having an effect on our generation. And think how many of us haven't even gone to college, but we're actually doing stuff with our lives.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to be that transformational generation.
Speaking of somebody that is in college, it's very limiting. Like, I love the way my mind is. Like, I have to learn things. I have to constantly be putting shit in the sponge that is my head, or else I'm going crazy and putting alcohol in my head all the time, you know. But being in school is also kind of limiting in the fact that, like, I've got, like, you know, 3 or 4 main projects that I work on. And being in school is, you know, time consuming because I have to be in class at a certain time and then I have to do homework and shit. And, like, I don't have as much time to podcast or do my real estate deals or make soap or fucking anything like that. So it's very limiting. Like, I love the fact that I'm learning a diverse array of subjects, but it's kind of a pain in the ass because when am I going to use this shit? Like, I have to learn this, this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this in order to get a degree in, like, something that's way the fuck on the other end of the spectrum. Like,
it's because that generation, they put it in our minds that we have to have a degree to do anything important.
Pay money, learn. But there's free education out there. Like, totally. When I wasn't in school, I would spend hours just watching YouTube videos of different lectures and shit. Like,
I was going to say, you can learn anything on the internet these days.
But you can't get that certificate.
Yeah, that piece of paper that says that you learned it. It's all
my friend Mikey was telling me about this thing called, I think, Wiki University or something like that, where they're taking, like, entire college textbooks and just making them accessible online. For
mm-hmm.
free.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes
iTunes
a special
U
kind
too.
Of person to sit there and actually read those textbooks.
Right.
Without the, you know, someone telling you, okay,
but if you
have
a textbook and you can watch a lecture that's based upon that textbook.
I was going to say, some people struggle to, like, learn from just looking at text on a page. Like, I kind of need some more connectivity with people and stuff.
Yeah, I think I need someone there, too, to, like, put it into perspective instead of just reading it. I'm really good with reading comprehension. I can read it and remember it. But to actually, like, understand it fully, I need to, like, be hands-on. And, like,
Most of the shit that I learn, I do from YouTube videos.
Like, that's all there.
Same.
Yeah.
That's all you learn in school these days is memorization. Like, how well can you memorize shit?
I don't remember anything from Spanish class. Nothing.
Yeah. I'm going to train you to get a 90 on this test or higher.
Basically.
That is exactly what it is.
That and then, exactly. You know what I don't like about school? I've always felt like I'm a really smart person. Like, I've always felt like I have things pretty figured out. But according to school, I'm not a smart person. I'm an average person.
It's not intelligence at all. It's measuring the devotion and dedication. Because I feel like the dumbest fucking person can graduate college. I don't think it has anything to do with...
I was never interested in what I was learning. I spent my entire high school career in the art room because that was the only thing I cared about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true, too, except I kind of have the opposite thing where all throughout high school and even now people will tell me, oh, you're so smart, you have so much potential, and I'm kind of just like, no, I don't really, you know, I don't apply myself to anything because nothing is, like, interesting enough to, like, focus on.
That's your own thoughts. Like, your own thoughts have huge impact on what you think, what you believe, where you are in life. Like, your own thoughts. And if you have thoughts that are damaging to yourself, like, basically taking a dagger to your own mind, like, I don't like this, I don't like that about myself.
Well, I mean, I know I have potential and I know I am smart. I just have to find something that I actually give a shit about. And I can assure you that it is not algebra or anything that they're trying to teach me.
I think it's about passion. It's not even, like, what you give a shit about. It's what you're fucking passionate about. Like, what makes you...
I think I would just like to see you go full force in being an activist. Because you're the only person I know that would follow through with something so intense. Like, what just happened at your school?
Well, tell that story.
Yeah.
Please do.
Well, she had recently talked about getting into, like... investigative reporting because of that whole situation. Like, that would be something that would maybe fit.
Dude, you could do that, and then you could come on the podcast and be like, yeah, I investigated this shit. And,
the problem is, see, this is where it gets messy, is because in order to do that, to be an investigative journalism or in a journalist or a reporter, they want you to have a degree, and I'm just like, you know, I know that I can do this, and I probably could get the degree if I had the time and dedication, but for you to tell me that I need a piece of paper to do what I already know that I can do is just aggravating, and I just don't, you know.
Well, is there a way that you can be an activist and make things happen and just have other people covering the stories? Because, Heather, you were doing a protest when you were 12 years old outside of KFC.
I mean, I'm
really?
Sure
what?
That I could.
Yes, share.
Oh, Lord. Just bringing up all the
I
embarrassing
never heard
stuff.
About this,
it's not embarrassing. It's what makes you awesome.
Let's go deep, dig it all out.
Have I heard this?
I want to hear all the dirt.
The first protest that I did, I organized it by myself, and I was 12, and I did, it was when I first started getting into, all the vegetarian stuff, and, like, seeing all the factory farming online, and, you know, just the dirty details that no one wants you to see. That's when I decided to go vegetarian, And a big campaign that they still have going on is against KFC because the way that they mistreat the chickens, which just sounds kind of silly.
They use Tyson chicken, by the way. It's the way that Tyson treats their chickens.
Yeah, it's. I mean, and it sounds kind of silly.
So it's not just KFC.
It's all Tyson chicken.
I thought KFC had their own retarded chicken fucking...
Wait, this is interesting. I heard that they had to legally change the name from Kentucky Fried Chicken to KFC because they couldn't use the word chicken.
They couldn't call it chicken. That's like soap. That's like you can't call it soap.
You were saying about soap. Like their chickens were so genetically modified that they weren't legally called chickens, so they had to change it to KFC.
I'm not sure about that because I haven't, you know, been active in it like in a long time, but it is bad. It's like they genetically modify them so bad to where they can't like stand or even sit. They can't obviously eat or anything because they can't move by themselves, so they're just like big hunks of like hormones that grow
on Food Inc. Tyson wouldn't let camera crews into their
they have to do everything.
What are you hiding? Like, if you don't have an open door policy, then you shouldn't be able to operate.
It's terrible, and that's food that they're feeding people. So, I mean, even from that age, I knew that I wanted to be an investigative reporter because I wanted to, like, go undercover. But I decided, like, back then that I could never do it because I couldn't see things like that happen and not be able to do anything about it. I would, like, lose my mind. I can't just
watch
it.
So you should be the one making stuff happen.
Yeah.
But anyways, tell us what you did outside KFC.
So I organized this whole protest, which... I was just in a town by my, like, I didn't know anyone, and I was super young, so I didn't, not very many people showed up, but it was a roadside protest in front of KFC where we actually, like, wrote into PETA, and they sent us supplies where I even had a chicken suit, where my mom wore a chicken suit.
Oh, my God.
This is why she's the best mom ever, because I don't even know if I would do that for my
kids.
Your
mom probably eats at KFC.
No. My dad's family does still, though. They, like, always try to make me go in the drive-thru. I'm like, this is disgusting. I don't want to be here. But yeah, so she had a giant chicken suit, and I had, you know, the big signs and everything, and I had reporters come out and, like, talk to me, and they quoted me on the newspaper and all this stuff, and it was really cool, but... I don't know. I think I just kind of like fell away from it after that because I didn't get as much support as I thought that I would have.
It takes time to gain recognition.
Yeah, and I was so young. I shouldn't have, you know, I shouldn't have let it go. But at the same time, like
when you have like an outlet,
it was a big thing,
like a medium to express and to shout at people. You hear that, ladies and gentlemen? If it's not chicken, don't eat it. Shout at people. Have your way. Have your way of getting your voice out there. Be fucking passionate about it. Stand up in front of a very unknown number of people.
You're passionate about standing up for what's right.
Yeah. So it's not even necessarily that subject anymore because I understand that people are going to eat me regardless of what I say or anyone else says. You know, people are just going to make their own choices.
There's an ant on my microphone.
As far as anything else, just, you know, treating people fairly and being... equal and ethical and moral. I feel like those are not hard things to do, and people just don't do it anymore, and I don't know why. But it drives me insane, and I want to do something about it.
We don't do that anymore because the machine that our parents have been put through, as far as the method of the way to do things, just completely took out everything that's good for our soul.
And it's easier.
Allison, your foot's on some cords there.
No, it's easier not to be ethical, too, because it's so easy to take advantage of people and be, you know, make an enormous amount of profit by ripping other people off. It's just easy. And I think a lot of people think that that's part of, like, the American dream, like, do whatever you can to make a lot of money. But it shouldn't be like that. You know, you shouldn't have to make other people suffer just to get what you want to get. You know, you guys should do it together and you should help people. But
well, that's what I'm doing with this podcast. Like, Jeez, did I ever finish what I was saying about when I was tripping on acid, like why I started this podcast, like in Ocala? Like, we were thinking about the thing about the serpents and we were all in sync and shit. But then I'm like, we got to the point where we could finally vocalize our thoughts and actually get on a physical plane. And we started talking about like ideas and how people are, you know, misinformed or uninformed or whatever the case may be. And I'm like, well, I listen to podcasts, like Joe Rogan's one of my heroes, and Adam Carolla, and all, you know, like just a bunch of people that do these podcasts and talk about some real shit that I learned from.
Yeah, dude, I respect it. Like, I think it's cool that you actually, like, gave a shit enough to actually, like, put this together. Like, a lot of people just talk shit and,
so,
like,
I'm thinking,
don't do anything.
If I broadcast my own views, one, I'm reaching a different demographic of people, because... you know, like college kids and like people between 20 and 30 are going to listen to it. Like Joe Rogan has a very large array of people that are listening to his podcast of all ages. But I feel like I'm somebody that is of the same age as some of the listeners that can, I can be like, hey, you know, you're the same age as me. Look, this is what we are focused on. This is what we're participating in.
You can relate more to peers.
Yeah, this is what we're doing. This is what probably should be done by all. In a sense, not necessarily everybody should go out and get a podcast, but everybody should be focused on the matters that we're talking about. Like holistic medicine, you know, natural shit, you know, chiropractic stuff. Yeah. Like instead of going to your doctor, like my doctor recently, when I had a blood test, he told me that I have a deficiency in vitamin D. And I'm like, okay, what do we do about it? And he's like, we'll take the supplement. And I'm like, are there any?
Can't you just go in the sun?
Drink milk.
Yeah, really.
I'm like, are there any alternatives? And he's like, well, we don't normally tell white people to go out in the sun because they'll get skin cancer. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? So you want me to buy your prescription instead of going outside? What the fuck?
Yeah, they don't make money going to the
doctor.
To
don't trust doctors.
Yeah, I actually had the same thing. I had a doctor tell me, oh, you need to take vitamin D supplements. Mm-hmm. And I looked at her and I said, can't I just go in the sun?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I started taking the supplements as an experiment because it's just vitamins. And like the amount of vitamins that I take per day is like fucking ridiculous. Handfuls of fucking pills every morning just, you know, because like I want to load my system with like the best things I can give myself.
I think it's weird that doctors even prescribe things like vitamins. My grandma actually, I don't even know honestly what is wrong with her, but she has all kinds of stuff and she has this huge bag of medicine that she carries around. And one day I was just like, you know, what the hell is in here? And I was looking and it's all just like vitamins. And I'm like, you know,
that's good.
Why don't you just take like first? Yeah. But that's how they make money off of it, which is weird to me. I'm like, why don't you just take a multivitamin or like, you know, why do they have to prescribe it to
multivitamins
you?
Multivitamins are the worst things, worst types of vitamins you could take.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of shit about I've heard that too, actually. Being like bullshit.
But I just feel like it's weird that they can profit off of something. I mean, I guess I'd rather them profit off of vitamins like, than harmful drugs, but still.
I take nootropics.
This is natural stuff.
I take nootropics, which promote the healthy production of neurotransmitters and, other nerves in the brain. It really helps you to remember things, to recall memories, to like focus. Like I notice, like if somebody throws something at me, I could fucking catch it like immediately. Like before, if I'm not on these supplements, like I can't like do that shit. It's very like subtle things. Like I can't even really describe. It's like every sense that you have just kind of gets enhanced a little bit.
Really.
But when you, yeah, I mean, well, humans are meant to eat a certain diet, and in America we don't really get the shit that we need. But if you look at different tribal societies and the food that they have available to them, if they eat foods that are rich in certain plants that help neurotransmitters, like we've got shit that, you know, produces cholesterol or things that help your body do this or help your body do that or hurt your body in this way or that way, but we don't pay too much attention to what the food we eat does to us. We have such a selection of things that are available, and most people eat like lettuce, tomatoes, chicken, and beef. Like, come on. Like, fucking, that's America. But there's so many other foods out there that can do different things to us. And there's so many supplements out there. Like, if you can't get those foods, because they only fucking serve so many different types of foods at different places when you're out and about. Like me, I spend most of my time circling the city, like, doing different things, working on different projects. So I don't ever, like, you know, I eat out all the fucking time, unless I'm home and my mom's cooking something. But the places that I go to, they don't have a very good selection of nutrients. So
there is places though. I mean, you just have to look.
I spent
a lot of time today.
Have you been to Infusion Tea up on Edgewater?
No, but I was check just looking out. At that today.
Check it out. It's vegan.
Today.
It's
today. We
it's
were
amazing.
About to go. That's funny. That
oh,
you
it's really
up.
Good. They've got.
He won't go because he is a basic bitch, just like you said. He just wants to eat chicken and beef and lettuce.
America.
Like, I'm not gonna like anything there.
That is what I know.
Yeah,
you know,
and we were just talking about this today. I was like, why would you not want to like try other things? Because I think part of being a vegetarian, I've grown to realize that it's not really just what you eat, but like, why would you put things in your body when it's unnecessary just to fill your stomach? Why not put things in there that are going to help you? You know, if you have the option, why would you? You know what I mean?
Well, the cool thing is with supplements is that you can target certain things that you want to be enhanced and take supplements for it. Certain things you should, like, you know, fish oil and get your omega-3s and your fatty acids and, you know, your multivitamins or your B vitamins. B vitamins are very important if you want to convert any of the shit that you eat into energy, which is the main reason for eating. But we eat shit, so it doesn't always happen. But things like bacopa, ginkgo, alpha GPC, like these chemicals or these herbs can enhance your brain functioning. So why not, if you're a mental person, if you're a thinker, why not help smooth that process along? It's like oiling the gears, you know? It's like, you know, helping all this shit kind of turn.
That's how I feel about eating in general. Like, when people just eat things like McDonald's or like fast food all the time, I'm just like, but why? Like, sure, you're living off of it, but
that makes me feel sick when I hear McDonald's.
Yeah. Seriously. But people seriously still live off of that stuff, and I just don't understand. Like, you're eating McDonald's for lunch and then getting some
you're
chips at the gas station.
Like a mixture of powders and
it's not food. It's food flavored material. Yeah.
So tell your story about your schooling, because we want to hear that. And we got like 6 minutes left before I kill this and either wrap it up completely or start another podcast, which I try to make them about an hour long.
Okay, well,
has it been an hour already?
Yeah,
54 minutes or so.
Oh wow.
Well, the problem with the school thing is I don't really know where to start, but I guess I started at it's a private school, and it was called American College for Medical Careers, and it was just supposed to be a dental assisting program that was 9 or so months. And so I started, and the first day we had a new instructor, and it was his first day too. And I knew that something was weird because he said that they didn't give him any information before he started. They just like put him in the classroom and said, here's all your paperwork. This is your class. This is what you're doing. And I was just like, oh God, this is going to be messy. And I was like, no, it's going to be fine. Just give it a chance. And then I started to realize that like the class just wasn't what I thought it would be. And like, just like we were saying earlier, it's just textbook. Like you read it, you memorize it, you answer the question that is directly based off of the passage you just read, and then they give you a test on it. They even have you go through the book and highlight the things that are going to be on the test. So there's like no possible way they can get it wrong, which by the way, people still get them wrong somehow. And so I just realized that it wasn't quite what I thought it would be, and I started to realize other things about the program that just wasn't how it should be. Like the doctor that was supposed to be overseeing everything lost his license in a malpractice suit. So he wasn't even a doctor.
Recently, or?
I think it was pretty recent. Yeah, I think it was like last year, and he was on the news, which is how I got scooped up by the news for my issue, because they did a story on him on how he was sued for malpractice for, I guess he didn't even look in a child's mouth and said, oh, he has 8 cavities and we have to fill them all or whatever. And so obviously he got in a lot of trouble for that. Sure. And then he was given the option because when something like that happens, they fine you and they say, okay, well, you know, take this course and then you can get your license back. Well, he paid the fine and he couldn't take the course because he failed it. Like he didn't know, apparently.
And he's an instructor.
Yeah. And then, so then he was the instructor for the school. So that was just like sketchy. Like how am I supposed to listen from someone who couldn't even pass the course himself? And there was just all kinds of issues, and they were being really shady with their financial aid stuff. They wouldn't give me the paperwork that I asked for, and it turned into whenever I asked questions to the president of the school, he was flat out rude to me. He threatened me and told me that that I shouldn't worry about things that happened above me because they were out of my control, and that basically he knew that his school was in good standing.
So he wanted to shut you up and make you think that you couldn't affect change.
Exactly. And he said that he knew that he wouldn't get in trouble because he had a friend on the State Board of Dentistry, which he proceeded to show me his name and his phone number and his phone and everything.
State of Florida.
Trying to scare me. And I was just like, I don't know who you think I am, but I'm not, you know, I'm not stupid. I'm not threatened by you at all. And he was like, well, I'm not going to treat you any differently for asking all these questions. And I was like, I know you're not going to. So after that conversation, I was just like, I can't even handle this. And I started to look him up, and he's been in trouble already for financial aid fraud at a different school that was shut down.
Christ.
Yeah, so that's when I went to the news and I was like, something has to be done because they're obviously not going to help me the way that, you know, that needs to, nothing's going to get done.
Isn't that guy the doctor who like signs off on your
the
like,
president,
certificate
well,
that you get, and he's not even really qualified to do that?
The president that was rude to me was the one actually who was supposed to sign off on the document, which he didn't even know. They told me later on, you know, the head honcho from like the mother school came down and told me that he was the guy that was supposed to sign, and he didn't even know. So whenever I asked that man any questions, he didn't know anything. And the doctor that, you know, that didn't have his license, he can't even be called a doctor. He was actually signing off on stuff, which was completely illegal. They were also doing like forged documents where they made us take the federal OSHA and HIPAA test where they changed
what happened?
The whole certification. And it was just a bunch of illegal stuff.
You had an interview with the news station, and then the president of the mother school came down and talked to you, right? And they told you that they were going to...
Yeah, I had an interview with the news station, and I had another news station contact me. So I had some things going, and I'm assuming that... Oh, I had attorneys, too, that were involved in a lawsuit that was already involved with the mother school, and they were going to try to make it go to a federal level since it was in different states. And I'm assuming that's how my name got passed up to the head honcho of the mother school. So he took a red eye down to Florida and was like, I got to figure this out. And he called me and met with me personally and said, you know what? We're going to do whatever we can to fix this because we want to make it better for you. Which to me, I know is just saying, okay, we'll shut up and we'll try to figure this out so that you don't get us in any more trouble. And he offered me a full refund on my tuition, which is great because... You know, I don't want to waste money on something that I didn't get anything out of.
Everything worked out because you were dedicated to a cause and you played the journalism kind of card and made some noise and they came through and they gave you what you wanted.
Yep, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. That's what everyone was telling me, and it's true.
That's a crazy metaphor analogy that I've never heard before.
It's very true.
But that's fucking awesome. I love that. That's really cool. Well, hey, we got to wrap things up. I'm Dolan.
Ryan.
I'm Heather.
I'm Allison.
And I make soap, goodcleangoods.com. Check it out. Awesome fucking lavender shit. If you guys have anything at all you want to pitch, go for it. Now's your time. Nothing. No.
Oh, if anybody lives in Orlando, I'm having a spin jam by Lake Eola. All types of flow arts, poi, hoops, all
frequently,
that good stuff.
Frequently, right? Because the date this is posted is very questionable. I don't know when.
Oh. But. It's the second Sunday of every month.
Okay. All right. Cool. Cool. Goodcleangoods.com. Soap. Check it out. Other shit. One of my co-hosts, Yankee, he's in a band, Approach the Lion, based out of Deltona, Florida. They're fucking awesome if you love metal music. I'm not a metal fan, but I enjoy their music. It's pretty good. Check them out. Goodcleangoods.com, goodcleantalks.com. Go there. Check out the links we have. Our sponsors will be listed there. And much love and thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.